Perkei Eliezer, Perek Mem Zayin. We're holding in the middle of the Perek, discussing the story of Bnei Yisrael and Shittim when they strayed after the Bnei Midian and the Bnei Moav. That was the Eitzah. We're going to start from Taf Lamed Vav. The Eitzah that Bilam gave to Balak and to the people of Midian was that they should try to get the Bnei Yisrael to do this Avera, you know, and in that way they would be able to get Hashem to stop protecting Bnei Yisrael. Yeah, but we didn't start yet. It's just, there's one Akuda that Rabbi Leomi Izmir in V'loy Oed Ella on page Taf Lamed Hey. So over there in V'loy Oed Ella, he has an interesting discussion. Why is it that Bilam and the Moav and Midian, why were they trying to get Bnei Yisrael Dafka to do these two Averas, Gilui Arayos and Avodah Zarah? We spoke about last week they were trying to get them to do Baal Pa'ar, and then also to be Mizana with Bnei Yisrael Midian, or Bnei Yisrael Moav. So why Dafka these two Averas of Gilui Arayos and Avodah Zarah? So there's a word from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, that Rav Chaim Shlavit says that the whole idea of Baal Pa'ar is that you take down all the gvulois. There's no boundaries. So if I can get you to do something that makes it that there's no boundaries, then it's easy to get you to do whatever I want afterwards. So that's the first step, is to get them to do something, take away all the gvulois, take away all the boundaries, and then once there's no boundaries, you know, the sky's the limit, so to speak. Bilyon Me'ezra says a few different points over here. Just will be makatsa with what he says. The first point he says is that the averas of Znus and Avodah Zarah are especially bad, that they cause the Shechina to leave Bnei Yisrael. Lo yira b'cha ervas davar v'shav me'acharecha. That's the Isser of is an allusion to the Isra of Arayas. Ervas davar v'shav me'acharecha, the Shechina is going to go back. And especially the Avera of Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'ar, which has to do with relieving oneself in front of the Avodah Zarah, right? And that pasuk of Leir Bacha Ervas Tavar, Pashup Shad in the pasuk, what it's really talking about is that you're supposed to have V'yad Tiyah B'machana V'yatzasar Sham Chutz V'chisasar Tzeyasecha. You should have a bathroom when the Jews are in the Machana. That was what the Torah says. You're supposed to have a bathroom. And then it says, in Leir Bukhar V'slover V'shav Me'acharecha, Hashem won't leave, the Shechina won't leave. So you see that the Shechina leaves when people don't properly dispose of their excrement. Right? So the Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'ar is Dafka embracing that. So that's going to cause Shav Me'acharecha. And that's the whole point of what Bilam is trying to do. He's trying to get the Shechina to not be on the side of Bnei Yisrael. And then, you know, there won't be a competition against Moav and Midian. That's one Nekuda he says.
But that was only one Avera also.
Yeah.
He's only talking about that specific Avera. And he's going to talk about the other Avera now.
So the other Nekuda he says is also about Baal Pa'ar specifically, is that Bnei Yisrael were too sort of high class. They had too much pride in Yadus, in Yiddishkeit, in that they would never be able to. They would never go out and do real straight Avodah Zarah. They would never go out and like be makdir a karban to a different god, or be mishtachavet to a different. That's too far. To try to get them to do that would be too far. But to try to get them to do something which, in some ways, you could say it's Avodah Bzuya, so Bnei Yisrael might be able to convince them to do such a thing, and they might have intention that they're doing it l'shem being mevazad avodah zarah, but l'maisa that's the way to do, to be avod Baal Pa'ar, that's the way to do it. So that's, you know, that's considered an isra of avodah zarah because that's dark way, even though you in some way are thinking I'm really being mevazad. Like the Gemara has a case of it's a story in Sanhedrin. Gemara in Sanhedrin. That says that there was once a guy, and he lent his donkey to some lady, a geisha lady, and as they were leaving the city, so the lady says, "Wait one second, wait for me. I just have to go visit my avodah zarah, and then I'll come back and we'll continue." Right. So she goes. She worships her avodah zarah. Happened to have been Baal Pa'ar. She worshipped it, and she came back. And fine. And then the Jewish guy was waiting with the donkey. And then the Jewish guy says to her, "says Wait one second. I also have to go to your avodah zarah." And the lady says, "What do you mean? You're Jewish. You don't do Avodah Zarah." So the guy says, "No, no, no. It's okay. It's Beseder. I'm going to go." He goes, and he uses the bathroom over there, and he uses the nose of the Baal Pa'ar to clean himself afterwards. Right? So it says, the Gemara says that everyone over there, all the Ovid Avodah Zarah, they were so happy. They said, oh, nobody was Ovid Baal Pa'ar in such an extreme devotion like this guy did. Well, this guy wasn't trying to worship Baal Pa'ar. He was trying to be Mevazet. And Afal Pikin, right? Just show how disgusting it was, and they took it the other way. It's like it's the same thing with Bilam. Like he would try to get them to do Baal Pa'ar, and they would like try to do it in a way that they're trying to be mevazit, but at the end of the day, they're really worshiping the Avodah Zarah. That's another nekuda.
What they call in this Israel is claimed ba lavo ba fucha.
Lavo ba fucha, to do the opposite.
Yeah. Okay.
And another nukud about also dafk about why Baal Pa'ar, the Gemara says, this is an interesting var. He brings Leomir Izmir brings from the Sefer Toldos Yitzchak, from Rav Yitzchak Cairo, the uncle of the Beis Yosef, in Parshas Bamidbar Perek Chaf Hey Pasuk Yitchas, in Parshas Balak. It says over there that we find that Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar complained to Hashem in Parshas Chukas. They complained about the mon, that the mon made its lechem akleikel, lechem the corrupted bread. Why is it called lechem akleikel? So Rashi says because they would eat the mon and then they wouldn't have to go to the bathroom afterwards. So like they were scared, like there's something wrong with us. Well, why can't we go? Why we have to be able to go to the bathroom? We're something weird. So Bilam saw that they want to be able to go to the bathroom, so dafka get them to do Baal Pa'ar, which involves eating certain foods that makes you go to the bathroom and then to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says that part of Baal Pa'ar is first you eat tridin, which in modern Hebrew is spinach, and then you go to the and then that makes you go to the bathroom and then you're Ovid. So Bilam was saying like, oh, I see they have that need, they want to be able to go to the bathroom, so then I'll dafka get them to do Baal Pa'ar. Those are three nekudos in why dafka. He was trying to get them to do Baal Pa'ar. Why Dafka in general? Why Dafka Avodah Zarah? Why Dafka Gilui Arayos? So another Nukuda he brings is the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Samach Kimel Mebeis says the Lo Osu Yisrael is the Egel Ela Lahatir Lehem Arayos. They only did the Egel Azov in order to use the worship of the Egel as justification for being transgressing the Yisurim of Arayos. Right? What the pasuk says that. And letzachik is an expression of Gilui Arayos. Right? So Bilam saw that Bnei Yisrael has a certain netiyah, a certain inclination towards Gilui Arayos, and they're even willing to worship Avodah Zarah to get to that Gilui Arayos. So Bilam wanted to play off of that and then get them to do Gilui Arayos and worship Baal Pa'ar at the same time. Another vart that Rabbi Leomi Izmir brings down, this is an interesting idea. He brings this in, he has Akdama, and then he builds on that a vart. He brings this in the name of Kas HaKadmoinim, Kas HaKadmoinim, the group of people who say vartlach, that they have Akdamas and they build upon those Akdamas. That's what he brings it. In the name of Kas HaKadmoinim, he brings a vart that it says, I found this vart in a sefer called Gvulos Binyamin, which is a Jewish sefer in Parshas Kisiso, and then I found it afterwards also in the Maram Ash, who's a Talmud of the Chassam Sefer, the Maram Ash in Imre Eish in Parshas Kisiso, and in Parshas Hazinu, he says this, the first part of this vart that we're going to say over here. The Maram Ash, the Talmud of the Chassam Sefer, it happens to be that my great-great-great-grandfather was a Talmud, his name was Reuven Chaim Klein, and he learned originally by the Chassam Sefer in Pressburg, and then when the Chassam Sefer died, he moved to Ungvar to learn by the Maram Ash. So like that's the Maram Ash was like Talmud of the Chassam Sefer.
My great father.
Yeah.
Abba shel Saba sheli.
Abba shel Saba.
Hu haya talmid shel Shevet Sofer.
Shel.
Shevet Sofer.
Shevet Sofer.
Hanechet shel Chatam
Sofer. Simcha Bun. What is it? Simcha Bun. What is it?
Zeh Moshe. On Pressburg.
Huh? Yeah.
He was in Transylvania.
Transylvania.
You're named after
Dracula. Great. I'm actually named after my grandfather, who's named after his great grandfather.
Oh. Wow. So. It's amazing that you even know that far down.
No, I'm into these type of things. So like, like one of my sons is named after my other great 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 grandfather. Another one of my sons is after a great great grandfather. It's a...
You're Hungarian.
Yeah, Vlad.
He was here in Eretz Yisrael, in Tzfat, the beginning of the century, and he was sent from the Kila to London. And then my great grandmother died in London, and he came back to Transylvania. Where
first, you know what city in Transylvania?
He was buried in Gerla, next to Dej.
So Akapana, what's the Vart? So the Vart is like this. Moshe Rabbeinu says when he's davening to Hashem to forgive Bnei Yisrael for the Egel Azav, it says, Ono chato ha'om azel chato gedayla v'yasu lahem egel ma'asicha. Right? It says, oh, please Hashem, this nation has sinned a horrible sin, a great sin. They made an Egel ma'asicha.
Are you reading?
I'm saying over a Vart from V'loi Oed Ella.
He has...
V'loi Oed Ella.
On page Tav Lamed Hey, over there. I love Tamil. I'm sorry, Tav Lamed Vav. So he says, what's this? Ana chato ha'am chato gedayla. They did a great sin. What if Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to ask Hashem for forgiveness for the Chedah Egel? Why is he calling it a great sin? So they say a chiddush. The chiddush is that. There's a medrash, Shmais Rabbah and other midrashim say that chato gedayla is referring to Gilui Arayos. Right, so why is Moshe Rabbeinu mentioning that when he's talking about the chet of the Egel Azav? And why is he magnifying the sin? He should be trying to minimize it if he's asking for forgiveness. So these Mefarshim, the Kat HaKedmin say that the Vart is that the Yisoid of the Isser of Avodah Zarah is that it's not covered for Hashem that a person who's created with a Tzelem Elikim should be Mishtachavet to Avodah Zarah. Because then it looks, in certain Bechina, it looks like Kilo Hashem is worshipping an Avodah Zarah. Because a person is created by Tzelem Elikim. So if you're a reflection of Hashem, and you're worshipping Avodah Zarah, so in a certain way, it looks like Hashem is worshipping an Avodah Zarah. Which is mamish, like, it doesn't make any sense. And it's mamish, like, not bekovedik or whatever. So the Iker Nekuda of why a person shouldn't do Avodah Zarah, according to this Pshat, is because a person has a Tzelem Elikim. So Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to say that Ana chato ha'am azeh chato gedayla. First they did arayas. And when they were nichshal and arayas, the Mukubalim say that a person who's nichshal and arayas, he loses his Tzelem Elikim. So first Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to say that Bnei Yisrael lost their Tzelem Elikim. And then V'yasalem egel ma'asecha. Then he says they created a golden calf. But when they created the golden calf, they didn't have a Tzelem Elikim anymore. So it's not as bad that they were Oved Avodah Zarah because they didn't have a Tzelem Elikim. That's the Vart that these Mefarshim say. V'lo Yayid Ella brings down Hashem Kasa Kedmin, Gvulos Binyamin, Maram Ash, etc. Based on this idea, Rabbi Yomi Israel wants to say a pshat over here by Bilam. He wants to say that what Bilam was trying to do is he was trying to trick Bnei Yisrael into worshipping Avodah Zarah. So the way to do that is you get them to do Arayas and then Avodah Zarah. Because you'll tell them, look, Avodah Zarah is a bad thing. It's a very chomer iser. But if you do Gilui Arayos first, then the Avodah Zarah is not so bad. So that's why he was dafka trying to do this combo, this double combo of Gilui Arayos and Avodah Zarah together, because he thought that that's how he would be able to convince them to do it. But that's more real. That's going to get to what we did last week, but we didn't have a chance to speak it up. So let's go right through up to Vol Hanasiim on the towards the bottom of page Tav Lamed Vav. So basically we said that Bnei Yisrael started to be Nichshal in the Bnei Yisminin and Bnei Yismayav, and the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, Zimri ben Salu, he himself was Nichshal in it, and they don't know what the leaders are not going to know what to do. V'chol Nasiim, all the Nasiim, I guess all the other Nasiim besides Zimri ben Salu, Umayisha, the Elazar, Upinchas, Ra'u l'malach Mavis. All the Nisim, Moshe, Elazar, Pinchas, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, they saw the Malach HaMavis. They saw that the Malach HaMavis came and was going to bring a Magefa, a plague, upon Bnei Yisrael because they were Nichshal with Bnei Midyan and Bnei Mayav. V'hayu yayishvin uvaychim, and the leaders were sitting and they were crying. V'lai hayu yayidim malasais, and they didn't know what to do. V'ra'a Pinchas l'zimri sheba b'farhes el midyanis. Pinchas saw that Zimri was publicly having relations with a midyanis. V'kine kina gedoyla. And Pinchas had a great kina. He had great zealousness. And what did he do? V'chotaf miyadei shel Moshe es ha'roimach. He grabbed from the hand of Moshe Rabbeinu the spear. Vorats acharav, and he ran after where Zimri was with this lady. Udkoroi me'acharei brisoi, and he stabbed him from behind his brismila, the place of his brismila. So he stabbed him from behind. V'yotza ha'roimach b'kova shel isha, and the roimach, this spear, went. It went in from the back of the man. Meaning behind, from behind the place of his bris, through his body into the woman's body, and it came out in the cover shel isha, in the cover of the woman. What's the cover of the woman? Well, 1 second, we'll have to speak about that. Lefichach, nasan leKadosh Baruch Hu Michael Keva. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to Pinchas a present of the food of the keva. Now, a keva. Is, you know what a keva is? A keva is a stomach. Right? A cow has multiple stomachs. It has a what's it called? A keres, and it has a keva, and a hemsis, and basokosis. A cow has a whole bunch of stomachs. And one of the stomachs, I believe it's the last stomach, but I'm not sure. I'll have to see Rashi in Eliyahu Shafis says exactly the order. I don't remember what Rashi says. But keva, I think, is the last stomach. The keva is the last stomach of a cow. And the keva is famous because it produces a certain enzyme called rennet, which was originally used for making cheese. If you take milk and you put it in rennet, then the cheese curls and then it curdles, and then the milk curdles and becomes cheese. That's what a keva is. So a keva is a part of an animal. It's one of the stomachs. So we said that when Pinchas took the spear through behind the man's bris mila, and it went through his body, through her body, and it came out on the by the keva of her pashtus. According, at least according to Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, it means it came out through her stomach. That's what it seems to say. Rashi and Chumash and Targum Yonis and Chumash don't learn like that. They take the word kava means like kava is like nigzar from the word nikeva. Right. Which means the place, the nakfus, the female body part, the rechem. Let's say, I don't know. That's right. But then it can't be that Pirkei Eliezer learns it like that, because then it doesn't make sense. What shaychas keva to kava? It says, I know.
Oh yeah.
The pasuk says the word kava.
Mm-hmm.
Right, kava sa. It's. The word, the word kava is only mentioned once in Tanakh, and the word keva is only mentioned once in Tanakh. Like, that's the connection. Even though it's like different words, pashtus. I don't know how to.
Rashi doesn't also say that the reason that the Kohanim get the keva is because of this?
Well, it's a Gemara. It's a Gemara. It's also a Gemara in Chulin that says this. I don't know exactly how to put it together. We'll finish off the rest of the story in a moment, but just this nekuda says that what did Pinchas do? Where did he get this spear? He grabbed the spear from the hand of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Why Moshe held it?
Why is Moshe Rabbeinu holding? First of all, why is Moshe Rabbeinu holding a spear? Second of all, why nobody else was holding a spear? So the Radal says of art, he brings the Gemara says that ain nichnasin beklei zayin la beis hamedrash. You don't go into beis hamedrash holding a weapon. You have these people that come in with their guns or whatever. You have to know exactly what the heck they're. If you're allowed to do it, maybe you're not allowed to hold it. If it's attached to you, maybe it's okay. I don't know. But he says, but Moshe, so nobody else had a weapon. But Moshe Rabbeinu had a weapon, and he grabbed it from Moshe Rabbeinu's hand. He doesn't explain why Moshe Rabbeinu Tafka had a roimach.
And it's a bigger question because he was the Rebbe.
Yeah.
You know, he's the Rebbe giving over the shear all the time.
Right.
So why is he holding dafka?
So the Marzu.
He knows the halacha.
Right. So the Marzu wants to say that the pshat is, it's like, it's not, it doesn't literally mean he grabbed the remach from the hand of Moshe when he grabbed the spear. Rather, it means that he grabbed the spear as like a figurative way of saying that like he took the initiative and he took on what Batsim you would have expected Moshe Rabbeinu to take care of. Like really, it should have been Moshe Rabbeinu Zacharias to go do something about this whole matzav with the Bnei Midyan. Moshe Rabbeinu should have done something, but he didn't. It says he was Yeshiv Ubaicha. He was sitting and crying. He wasn't doing anything. And Pinchas went and he took it from the hand of Moshe Rabbeinu Kilu, like meaning he took it. He took what you would think Moshe Rabbeinu should do, and he took it for himself, and he did something about it.
Well, the Rashi said that he's asking.
So there's other pshat. Right, that's what I wanted to tell you. That the pshat is that he took it, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say go and do this, because Habay Laramis Kanaim Pagim Bay is halacha ve'en Moirin Ken. It's true. It's a true halacha. It's a true din. It's a true law. But you're not supposed to go out and teach it and tell people that, like, you know, Paskin, oh, this is what you're supposed to do. So like, it's not like Moshe Rabbeinu gave over the Reimach to Pinchas and said, go do it. Pinchas knew that it's halacha to do it, and he went and he did it on his own. It didn't, like, come. Yeah.
Kanaim
Pugim.
Since he learned from his uncle, you know, you don't do things without the Rebbe telling you what to do. Because his uncle's got in trouble over that.
Who? Which uncle?
Oh,
Nadav and Avihu. I hear. No, but here he knew what the halacha is, I guess. He knew that that's the halacha, just that we don't say it. Like Kilo, like when Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching Masechus Sanhedrin to Pinchas, so he said, you know, this is the halacha, it's the halacha of Ein Marin Kain. Because otherwise, what do you mean Ein Marin Kain? It's a Mishnah, right? Mishnah Sanhedrin.
You can't say that the halacha came from this. It's supposed to be the halacha was already there, and obviously not, because that's not the Chachamim say. But seemingly he did the right thing, and that's how we learn out from.
Just like the halacha of a woman coming her hair.
Yeah.
You learn about the halacha of a woman coming her hair, but in fact, so it's uncovered. It never says that a woman should be covered her hair. Just as with something uncovered. So it could be like he says, you learn the halacha from what he did.
Also,
I mean, Pashas is a halacha l'maisha misinai, that just there's no explicit pasuk that says it, but that's when we know that there's such a halacha. That's what it means halacha v'en Mayrinkin.
Oh? But this is always a piece of Kanaim.
Right, it's only Kanaim Pagimah.
Yeah. Before that, it starts from the Kanaim.
Yeah.
Still when David and Shimon killed Shechem.
Right.
Hakizudah.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It means that they did an angel kima.
Right.
It also was an opposite. An angel mochay.
Right.
And Oto Mekane did the sin. And Oto Mekane is killing the sinner. All from Levi.
Because Shimon was one of the original people who went against Shechem. Shimon and Levi, and then when Shimon did it himself,
and also Bar-Rayot.
Saying Levi, who Pinchas is from Levi, went and killed the Nasi of Shimon. What? What are you saying?
Yeah, but they got in trouble for doing what they did, Shimon and Levi. And Yaakov Avinu was angry at them.
So Shimon and Levi didn't really get in trouble. Shimon and Levi didn't really get in trouble for what they did. Shimon and Levi got in trouble for, let's say, a certain midah that motivated what they did. Shimon and Levi, Achim Klecha Mas Bechore Sehem, Arur Apam. Yaakov Avinu cursed their anger. Because in a certain way, they were doing it out of anger. It's like that was the...
Not Kina? Here it's Kina, not anger.
Right, here it's Kina. Over there, it could be it was Kina, but it was also Kina, in certain ways anger. Yeah.
But Levi got to be Yaakov before he dies, elevates Levi.
Right, because Levi afterwards shows that he's gone above. No, Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov Avinu dies, he doesn't elevate Levi. Shimon and Levi are equal.
And how come Levi? Then when does it doesn't?
By Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu is dying, so there Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't give a bracha and v'zayis a bracha. He doesn't give a bracha to Shimon, but he does give a bracha to Levi.
Yeah, but the thing is, with when Yaakov Avinu was being carried to Israel from Egypt.
Yeah.
Wasn't Levi told not to carry his body because he's a priest?
No, none of the sons were carried the body.
But Levi was given some
special... None of the grandsons, whatever.
Levi was given some special consideration then.
I know, I don't remember.
Because in Mitzrayim, the Levites were...
Were part there from the work,
because
yeah.
Because they were the priests.
Right.
So when did they become the priests?
That's another very good question. They became the priests at the Chet HaEgel. He took it from Reuven and he gave it to Levi. But yet, you see exactly that they were special already in Mitzrayim.
In Mitzrayim.
That's a very good question.
As soon as Moshe was declared the Moshiach. The Moshiach.
Even before that, because he's saying that Levi never did the Shibud in Mitzrayim.
Right, but it's before Moshe Rabbeinu was born.
They had connections in the Pavo kingdom by Moshe when he was before.
They had connections.
Before Moshe Rabbeinu was even born, the Levites didn't get involved in the slavery. They were
They
were busy being priests. We can't have time for this.
So it's a good question. We have to figure out exactly at what point did Levi show that he's above everyone else.
No, the Levi didn't go to the other tribes. They were not, the fight was not between Levi and Adar, who will be the number one.
Right.
Ella, before that was, the Bechorim was the leaders.
Right.
Of all the tribes.
In all the tribes.
Not Shevet.
Of Reuven. Reuven was the Bechor.
Yeah, Reuven lost the Bechorim.
Lost the Bechorim to
Yosef.
Mostly to Yosef, yeah, but could be there was different. There were different facets of the Bechor.
Rivka already got the prophecy. Rabbi Avot Tzair.
But I mean, that's really Yaakov and Esav.
Yeah, but it's still that. Or Yitzchak Yishmael.
So what did Pinchas do? V'imetz Zroyo Esav, he strengthened his arms. V'hemides Zroyo Machbaaretz. Imagine we had a toothpick over here, right? You had two people. You have Zimri and you have the lady, and he took the roimach and he put it through them, right? And then with his great strength, he strengthened his arms, and then he like took the roimach and he like flipped it like this.
And carried them around.
And he had them on the top of the roimach, still attached to each other, right? You find that they were hanging on top on the head of the spear, this one on top of the other one. Ha'ish lamala min ha'isha, the man above the woman.
No.
Oh, so that's the problem because you had the man on top of the woman, right? And then the spear came through, and then if you flip the spear upwards, so now the woman's on top of the man, right? So how does that work? So the Marzu asks the question. Marzu says, the Chazal tell us that there were Yud Beis Nisim that happened to Pinchas on that day, and one of the Yud Beis Nisim was that a Malach came and switched them. So that on the top of the Roimach, you'll have the man on top of the woman. Even though Be'etzim, the woman, would have been on top of the man otherwise.
Why?
Because to show everybody what they were doing, to make it more obvious what they were doing over there.
Okay, I don't see how that would make it more obvious.
Okay, so Vinispardu or Vinispazru Halchayim Halachi Shel Ish Melachya Shel Isha, and their cheeks were separated, the cheek of the man from the cheek of the woman. Apparently they were, I guess, what they call lip locked together. And then when Pinchas killed them, so like their cheeks separated from each other. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave as a present to Pinchas the food of the lechayayim, of the cheeks. Shenemar v'nasan lakohen hazreya v'lechayayim v'akeva. There's a pasuk in Devarim, Perek Yud Ches, pasuk Gimel, says you should give to the kohen the zroya, the arms, the lechayayim, the cheeks, v'akeva, and the keva with that stomach. Those three parts of an animal automatically go to a kohen.
This doesn't come with this. Rashi comes with a different pshat.
I know there's a Gemara in the Chulin about it also, but the Zraya is because the way the Medrash over here is saying it, the Zraya is because Pinchas strengthened his arms, the Lachayim because when he killed them he separated their cheeks from each other, and the Keva is because the spear came out from the woman's Keva. Rabbi Israel also says a similar zach, a similar pshat. He says that the the zraya is because it says that Pinchas took the spear from Moshe Rabbeinu. So you would say, oh, he's not being machalik covered l'rav because you can't just grab something from Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, Hashem gave Pinchas dafka the zraya to show that, like, no, what you did when you grabbed it from Moshe Rabbeinu, that was good, that was okay. Because we say that the b'makom sheyesh chilul Hashem ein cholkin covered l'rav. So grabbing information, that was the right thing to do. So therefore you get the arm. And then why does he get the l'chayayim? Because when Pinchas ruled the halacha, he said, oh, this is the halacha, the Kanaan Pagan boy. So he said it with his lips, with his mouth, with his words. So his cheeks moved when he said it, jawbone moved when he spoke. So therefore he gets the l'chayayim. As a reward for that, because otherwise you would have thought that, oh, he's going against Moshe Rabbeinu because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say that that's the halacha. So saying no, he did the right thing with his l'chayayim. So he also gets l'chayayim, and it says the keva. This one I didn't really get. It says the keva. The Gemara in Bracha says that the keva, that's where the part of the body that goes to sleep first. That the shena is nimshach me'a keva. So Pinchas, he wasn't kilo, he was sleeping, he was like awake when he did this, as opposed to everyone else who wasn't doing anything. They were kilo, they were sleeping, so therefore he gets the keva. It's a similar Gemara in the end of Hazreel Chayayim in Maseches Chulin says. What? Right, it could be. I don't know.
Maybe keva is not divine.
I don't. That's what I'm saying. Keva is not a body part that human beings have. Keva is the body part of a cow. So, like, I don't know what does it mean keva for a person. It's not something you say about a person. You don't have a keva. This is a stomach. A stomach is not called a keva. Maybe it's a keres. Maybe it's a beta. Maybe, but not. You don't say.
Why does it say kilkul keva?
What's kilkul keva?
You have a bad stomach. Maybe the same.
It's the same word. I don't know.
Same word like meayim.
No, that's maybe today. Maybe that's because of, what's his name, Yehuda.
When you go to the doctor, you don't say, my keva hurts.
Maybe he took it because Rav Kook told him that's a word for stomach. So he said, okay, keva.
I don't know. But the Gemara says this about Darshei Rishumo Yisoymrim, that the Kehanim get Zorayel Chayayim Ve Keva because of the story of Pinchas. Okay. The Gemara says a similar thing over here. But the... Okay, yeah, let's go back there. Come, Kedayin Gadol Shefet LeYisrael. Pinchas got up like a great judge, judging Bnei Yisrael. Shenamar, it says the pasuk, Vayamay Pinchas Vayifalel. Pinchas got up and he was Vayifalel. Usually people say Vayifalel means that he prayed. That the Gemara in Brachas says, that Vayamay Pinchas Vayifalel is talking about davening. But the Medrash here says something different. You give him like a criminal. You give him a criminal punishment. Beflilim, right? Avon plili in modern Hebrew is like a criminal offense, right? So vayifalal, when it says that Pinchas was vayifalal, it means that he was like deciding like a criminal case. He was deciding a case of like a capital offense. Vayamake bebachure Yisrael, and he would hit the bachure Yisrael that were nichshal in this avera. And he dragged them around to all the corners of the Jewish camp, so that the Jews will see this is the einish that happens to a person who's nichshal in this avera, and viro, and they'll be scared and they won't be engaged in that avera anymore. And Hashem saw what Pinchas did, and Hashem stopped the magefa, the plague that was killing the people of Bnei Yisrael, as a punishment for being nichshal. Shenemar, it's the pasuk vayateatzar magefa. Where it says vayamay Pinchas vayfalo vayateatzar magefa. This is in Tehillim where it's recounting this story of Bnei Ismayav, and it says that the magefa stopped when Pinchas got up to vayfalo, which means that like he judged them. Other chazals tell us vayfalo means that he prayed, he davened, and that's how the magefa stopped. The point is that Pinchas stopped this magefa. But there were casualties. 24,000 Jews died, as we said last week, and as we will see towards the end of the parak.
Is is there any significance to the fact that 24,000 passed away from this one, but from the Egel only 3,000 died? Was it Yoter Garua from the Egel, or something like that? Or it's Tam? He had no idea.
I don't know, not that enough. I do know that the Megala Amukis, don't tell this to anyone, but the Megala Amukis says that the 24,000 people that died by Shittim is connected to 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva. Yeah, the Megala Amukis says that. What's the Pshat in the Megala Amukis? I don't know.
Who's Megala Amukis?
Megala Amukis was Rav Nosson Nata Shapiro of Krakow. He was a Talmud of the Tesis Yantiv. Talmud of the Tesis Yantiv. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says, Hey Sefer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmai Shel Pinchas Kishmai Shel Eliyahu Zachur L'Tayv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the name of Pinchas to be the name of Eliyahu Zachur L'Tayv. To be the same as Eliyahu, maybe he'd be remembered for good. Meaning Hashem changed Pinchas' name to Eliyahu. Because Pinchas was such a kanoi for the covet of Hashem, so he gave him a special name called Eliyahu. What's the specialness about the name Eliyahu? So there's an idea, something called, what's called a theophoric name. A theophoric element in a proper name. A theophoric element is a hint or an allusion to a person's God in his personal name. It's something that was very common in the ancient world, right? Actually, there's a Pirush Rabbeinu Yosef Bachar Shor in Parshas Noach. He says that began in the door of Enosh. Az huchal likrei b'shem Hashem means that's when they started giving people's names. They would put like a name of Hashem inside a person's name, Mahalalel, or Mukhuyael. Right? They put the name Kael of Hashem inside a person's personal name. Right, Yisrael has the name of Hashem in it. All the different names, right? Yirmiyahu, Chizkiyahu, Adoniyahu. All these people have names of the Yud Hey Vav at the end is the name of Hashem. So Eliyahu is a double theophoric name. It has Kael in the beginning, Aleph Lamed, and then it has Yud Hey Vav, which is the Shem Avaya. So Hashem gave Pinchas a special name because he was such a kanoi for Hashem. He got the name of Eliyahu.
Which this is the source where the Eliyahu was a Kohen?
This is.
No, Elohim is the midat adin. The yud kei vav kei midat rachamim.
Yes.
So they combine them together.
It could be. I mean, it's not so partial because Elohim is din, but what about Kael? Is Kael din or rachamim?
Kael is a balakor.
Does that mean din or racham? A lot of it's machlik is different mafarshim. If Kael means din or rachamim, but whatever it's. We don't have to get on to din and racham. That's already a different nekuda. But so Hashem gave Pinchas the name Eliyahu. Is this the makar that Eliyahu Navi was the kain?
Meaning, is this the we say that Eliyahu was a Gilgul of Pinchas? Before Eliyahu was a kohen.
First of all,
we talked about this.
Who said Eliyahu was a Gilgul of Pinchas? First of all, a lot of mafashim say Eliyahu is Pinchas. That is Gilgul, is Pinchas.
Oh, is Pinchas.
I mean, there is a Gemara, there's a Gemara that we spoke about, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Kuf Yud Daled, that Rav, I don't remember, Rav Anan maybe it was? No, Rav Yabo? So one of the Amorim, Tanam Amorim, whatever, he was in a basic kvaras, and he met Eliyahu and Navi there. He says, Lav Kain Mar, aren't you a Kain? So you see that the Gemara understands that Eliyahu and Navi was a Kain. But here we're saying that Pinchas is Eliyahu. He just had a name change. Miteshve Gilad, from the inhabitants of Gilad. Why is he called from the inhabitants of Gilad? Eliyahu Navi is described in the pasuk as Miteshve Gilad. What's the Jewish on Miteshve Gilad? She'asa Yisrael Tshuva be'eretz Gilad. Teshve is Milashin Tshuva, and Gilad is Gilad, meaning all of the Eivar Yarden is called in some places Gilad. So the one who caused Bnei Yisrael to do tshuva in the place of Gilad, that's Eliyahu Navi, who is also Pinchas, because Pinchas caused Bnei Yisrael to do tshuva over there in Vatayat Saramagifah.
Not the Gilad that was previously named by Yaakov and Levan?
No, that's Gal-Aid.
Same letters.
Same letters, pronounced differently.
It's much different. I always wondered. It's said a lot. This word is just different.
Yeah, Pashtus. I mean, okay. I don't know where Gal-Aid is, but it can't be more than a few days away from Haran, which is in the future state of Kurdistan.
Really?
But Erech. So like
that's much farther.
Farther north, northeast. North
than
yeah.
I would have expected.
That's what Haran is. Haran is off. It's off of the Tigris. The Mamish fighting right there. That's
Iraq.
Yeah, Mosul. Mosul is. I told you this before. Mosul is Nineveh.
Oh.
More or less.
Really? Which is
there's a big
partial.
Article about Mosul. I think in the Hamadiya this week.
Yeah, pro or against?
What stuff's about the Jews there? I didn't read it.
There's Jews left there?
Yeah, maybe, I don't know.
Like, never.
Mosul, there was an article because there's no more ISIS there. They said they get up in the morning and there's no ISIS. Whatever.
It's not sure, but whatever. It's a political trick, whatever.
Nineveh?
Here.
Nineveh, yeah.
That's this week's Parsha.
Why is that this week's Parsha?
It says in Noah.
Oh, Nineveh, here, Ir Gedolah.
Nineveh, Ir Gedolah. It was made by.
Who was it made by? Article. I didn't read the
hit. Oh, wow. Recapturing the ancient Jewish city of Mosul. It's a Jewish city? Where did that come from?
Nineveh is not a Jewish city.
Okay, we'll have to take a look at this later. But Al Kaponim, yeah, so the whole Eretz of Eivar Yarden is called Gilad, and Pinchas caused Bnei Yisrael to do tshuva over there, so he's called Toshvei Gilad. Right, there's the Indian Mitzvah Shabbos to speak about Eliyahu HaNavi, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the different putim that people say in Mitzvah Shabbos is mirrors of Eliyahu HaNavi.
Eliyahu Tishbi.
Eliyahu Tishbi.
Eliyahu Giladi.
Right.
The Kimoyim Shalom.
Right.
Because they never give his parents' names.
What?
They never give his parents' names.
Right. They never give his parents' names. The Radal wants to say that don't interpret. Okay, whatever. He wants to say, don't. I mean, I think it's obvious. We'll speak it out because the Radal feels the need to speak it out. But Eliyahu HaNavi did cause Bnei Yisrael to do tshuva in a different case, right? When they had the Nevi'ei Baal, you know that story with the Beit HaMizbeach and the Nevi'ei Baal were praying and then the fire never came and Eliyahu prayed and the fire came and all the people fell on their faces and said, Hashem will Elikim, Hashem will Elikim, right? So there he got them to do tshuva there. So maybe it's talking about that. So the Radal says no, because that happened where? Har Carmel. Where's Har Carmel? Next to where Haifa is, right? And that's obviously not Gilad. So how could you say that's obviously that's not Eretz Gilad. So obviously we're talking about something that happened in Eretz Gilad in Eivar Yarden. Or Sha'asa Yisrael Tshuva be'Eretz Gilad, or the Radal is like, Sha'asa Yisrael Tshuva al Yodoy be'Eretz Gilad. But Shinamar, how do we know that Eliyahu and Pinchas is the same person? So the Pais HaGadol says we're going to darshan over here. Let's stick with the Shava. Shinamar says in the pasuk, "Brisi ha'isa itoy ha'chayim v'ha'shalom." My bris, my covenant, is with him for life and for peace. V'nosan le'chayim oylem hazeh v'chayim haba. Hashem gave Pinchas oylem hazeh and oylem haba, life and oylem hazeh and life and oylem haba. He's going to live forever. He's not really going to die. And even though he went up in a sirah, in a storm into Shemayim, but Lamaisa he does come down and appear amongst people when necessary. V'nasan lai ulvana sachar toiv ben tzadikim uvein rishayim, and Hashem gave him and to his children a good reward, whether they're going to be tzadikim, whether they're going to be rishayim, laman kuhunas elam, for an everlasting kuhuna. So Pinchas and his descendants will always be kehanim. There's a thesis in Meseches Yoima that says that there were 80 Kohanim Gedolim who were descendants of Pinchas. Right? So it's a Kuhunas Olam, an everlasting Kuhunas. Shenemar, V'hois Eloi Zarei Acharav Bris Kuhunas Olam.
Didn't every Kohan have to be a descendant of Pinchas?
No, every Kohan had to be a descendant of Aaron. Aaron had two sons that have children, right? Elazar and Isamar. So all Kohanim are descendants of Elazar and Isamar. Of Elazar, Elazar had a son named Pinchas, and there are descendants of Pinchas. But not every Kohen is a descendant of Pinchas. There are some are from Elazar, some are from Isamar.
Did Pinchas have any brothers?
Did Pinchas have any brothers? We could assume that he did. It doesn't say explicitly that he did, but we could assume that he did. So we're dashing over here by Eliyahu Hanavi in Malachi. It says Brisi Haisa Itay Hachaim VeHashalom, and over here it says in the beginning of Parshas Pinchas Hinini Nesin Leis Brisi Shalom. So it's a similar lashon Brisi and Hashalom, and over here it says Brisi Shalom. So from that Chazal understood that Pinchas and Eliyahu Hanavi is the same person. Yeah. The Radal points out another interesting thing that's really, it's not really nageya to over here per se, but it's nageya to understanding the sugya of Pinchas and Eliyahu in general. That pasuk in Malachi, which says Brisi Haisa Itay Achaim VeHashalom, the next pasuk says Kisivse Koyen Yishmeru Das V'chulu, and at the end of the pasuk says Ki Malach Hashem Tzvokis Hu. He is a Malach Hashem Tzvokis. He's an angel of Hashem. Right. And we said earlier in Perek Chavtes, we said that Eliyahu Novi became a Malach. He became the Malach HaBris after, at a certain point, he became a Malach HaBris. Eliyahu Novi became became an angel. He's no longer a human being. That's a way of understanding because what happened to Eliyahu. He went up in Asara. Yeah. Oh, so that's a shadow. Did he die? Or he went up. Here we're saying he didn't die. He says, means that he was living forever, Pashtos. So there's a Trumas Adeshan. It's a famous Trumas Adeshan. It's Sibin Kuf Beis. The Trumas Adeshan says, what's the halachic status of Ashes Eliyahu Hanavi? Eliyahu Hanavi's wife. Is she allowed to get married to somebody else?
Did he have a wife?
Let's assume that he had a wife. He had to have had a wife because, at least at some point, because Pinchas was a Kohen Gadol, and a Kohen Gadol has to be married. So for sure, at some point, he had a wife. We also discussed this. We spoke about this because when we spoke about the story of the Ben Hashunamis, Ben Atzarfis, we spoke about Eliyahu, if Eliyahu was married or not.
Yeah.
I think the Radal said that Mistama he was, they just didn't mention it or something. Mm. But, so, or it could ask as a theoretical question. The Trumas Sedeshan wants to know, what's the halacha? Is Eliyahu Hanavi's wife allowed to get remarried or not? So the Trumas Sedeshan says, well, there's the Isra of Ashes Ish, there's no Isra of Ashes Malach. And Eliyahu Hanavi has a din of a malach, he's not an Ish, therefore you're allowed to marry Ashes Eliyahu. It's a famous Trumas Sedeshan.
Yeah.
What?
From here.
So it comes along Rav Elchanan Wasserman in Kovitz Shurim, and Rav Elchanan says, I don't understand it. Because when a man marries a woman, right, she becomes Aser, she's an Ashes Ish. Right? So what is Matir, the Isra Ashes Ish? One of two things.
Gerushin.
Death, or Gerushin, or Misa. Right? So what happened to Eliyahu Hanavi? He didn't have Gerushin, she didn't have Gerushin, and she didn't have Misa. He just had he was a person, he turned into a malach. But there was no misa to be mater her.
So what does he say?
So he says he doesn't understand the Trumas Adeshan. I could tell you an answer. It's not a good answer, but I could tell you an answer. Want to hear an answer? There's an idea from Rav Shimon Shkop. They say from Rav Shimon Shkop that the way Kiddushin works is that Kiddushin is something that's chal every second. You marry her, the kedushin, and you do the ma'isa kedushin once, and the chalois comes again and again and again and again, over and over again. Chalois is the chalos, chalot, she's the chal. The ma'isa is the action that makes
the beginning
a paradigm, a halachic shift in status, and the chalois is that which makes it effective, makes the shift act effective, right? So it says the action, you do the action once, and then what creates the halachic status regenerates itself automatically, continuously for the rest of their life, or until something interrupts it.
And if somebody has a shalom got accidentally became a tzemach.
Yeah. So there's a ma'isa in Tzfas. There was a ma'isa in Tzfas a year ago.
What
happened?
What?
Doesn't function.
No, because what breaks the chalos? What breaks the chalos is either misa or gerushin, Right? So if a guy becomes a vegetable, so he's not, it's not Misa, because he's still alive, technically, and it's not Gerushin, so there's nothing to break the halos.
So what happened in Tzfas?
But no, in Tzfas, there was a guy who was he became a vegetable, and he was a vegetable for a long time. Something like that. He was a vegetable for like 12 years in the hospital or whatever, and at some point, the Beis Din basically decided to give a... They themselves gave a get to the guy's wife, and she was able to get remarried. It was a very complicated situation, what they did over there.
And then he woke up?
No.
Then he died?
Not that I heard of. So, if
he... said he was a vegetable for 12 years, so I guess then he died after 12 years.
No, he was a vegetable for 12 years when the story happened.
When they got a get for her.
Something like that. I don't know exactly all the details, but... There was the Beis Din of Tzfas put out a tshuva about this case, and it's like a 98-page tshuva. I have it on my computer. If you want to read it, you can. Wow. I can email it to you. It's mostly copy and paste from Bar Ilan, all kinds of different stuff, but yeah.
It would be chaval if Eliyahu Hanavi left his wife as an
aguna. Right, chaval.
Be like, how could that? How could such a pshat? How could it be such a pshat like that?
So it could be that once we have this idea of Ish v'loy Malach, so that would make it that if the Chalais Kedushin happens continuously, so that it would make it that at a certain point, you can't have a Chalais Kedushin anymore because he's not an Ish. So then Mimela, there's no more Kedushin. Okay, I don't know, it's just an idea I'm throwing out there that I just thought of on the spot right now. But it's an interesting idea. Let's go back to Rabbi Elazar Hamaydoi Oimer. There's a lot to do, and we're going to be slow. Rabbi Lazar Amaydoi says, Amar Pinchas v'hichim al Yisrael b'soid shem mafarish. Pinchas got up and he made an excommunication on Klal Yisrael with the secret of the shem mafarish, with the ineffable name of Hashem, of iksav shenechtav al haluchos, and with the writing that was written on the luchos, of v'cherem beis din ha'elyon, v'cherem beis din ha'tachtoin, and an excommunication of the upper beis din in Shemayim and the beis din down in earth. What did Pinchas make this chayim about? Shelo yishta adam yisrael miyenam shel goyim. That a Jewish man, shall never drink from the wine of a goy.
How about whiskey?
I hear. We said last week that the whole what caused them to do the averas with the Bnei Midian was that they drank yayin amayni. The Ammonite wine, which was a special aphrodisiac that the Bnei Midian were using with them. But if they didn't drink this yayin, they would never have been nishtal in the avera. The Gemara says that this whole story happened before the iser of yayin of stam yayinam came about. But yayin, there's two things that people commonly confuse with each other. There's something called yayin nesach and something called stam yayinam. Yayin nesach is literally wine that was poured for the sake of avodah zarah. So that is for sure aser. That's just. It's considered idolatrous paraphernalia, and it's always aser. There's a second thing called stam yenam. Stam, any wine that belonged to a goy made it, he had access to it, or whatever, so it becomes forbidden for consumption. Not necessarily detached from the fact, from a chashash, that they used it for avodah zarah. There's a special gzera of stam yenam otu b'nei sehem. Because if you drink their wine, you'll end up marrying their daughters. That's just the way it worked in the ancient world.
It has to be nowadays given to Shabbos Shabbos guy.
What?
A non-religious Jew is would also...
Right, because we have a halacha that a mumer for Shabbos is like a mumer l'kol ha'Torah kula. And therefore, because Shabbos has the same stringency as a Avodah Zarah. So a person who doesn't keep Shabbos, because Shabbos is something that testifies about Hashem creating the world, so a person who doesn't keep Shabbos is sort of rejecting that Hashem created the world, and therefore is like an Oved Avodah Zarah, so the wine of a person who doesn't keep Shabbos is the same thing as like the wine of a guy. So this halacha of Stam Yenam, the Medrash over here is saying that Pinchas was the one who instituted it. He was in the second, he made a cherem of Stam Yenam. And what's it called? The Radal brings from the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvahs that the Ramban says that even though Pinchas was the first one to be misakin it, but it wasn't accepted in all of Klal Yisrael until the time of Daniel. So Pinchas was misakina, but it only really became a more popular, accepted gzera, accepted halacha in later generations, the time of Daniel, after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. There's another interesting thing that the Radal brings down over here. He says that he brings the Balaturim. The Balaturim in Parshas Balak, when it says Vayikach Roimach, the Pinchas took a spear. So the Balaturim says the word Roimach is the same letters as the word Cherem. That's the Balaturim. So the Radal says that the Balaturim is referring to this medrash over here. The Pinchas made a Cherem against drinking Stam Yenam of a guy, even if it doesn't have to do with the Avodah Zarah, just to get them away from the daughters. So Roimach is the same letters as the word Cherem, and that's what Pinchas did. I wanted to add one more Nakuda. Roimach and Cherem is also the same letters as
Rechem.
Keva, Rechem.
As Rechem. Okay, that's true, Rechem. I was gonna take a different approach.
Also Rachamim, Rechem.
Rachim, yeah. I was going to take an approach of chamar. First of all, yayin, the word wine in Aramaic is chamra, right? So the Kava Yashar in Perak Ayin Vav says that he brings from B'Shem Mekubalim that if a person is nichshal in yayin nesach, he's going to come back in a gilgul as a donkey, as a chamar. Because chamar is related to the word chamra, yayin. So that's also, this is also hinted to in the pasuk of Vayikach Roimach, because Roimach is also the same letters as Chamar. Shelo yishta adam yisol miyenam shel goyim. A Jewish man shouldn't drink from the wine of goyim. Ki hem mirpas raglam, because their wine is the thing upon which their feet tread. Shenemer, it says the pasuk of Sani mirpas raglechem tirano. You're going to drink that which their feet tread upon, that which their feet walk upon. So you shouldn't drink it because the wine of mirpas is a lashon of walking on top of.
I have mirmas.
Mirmas. No, tsoini mirmas raglechem tirena u mirpas raglechem tishtena means mirpas is a lashon of walking on top of, like drisa. That's sort of what it means. Mirpas. And there's another girsa over here, and I saw in the Higer edition from the Ksav Yad, the Kisvei Yad have both of these. Kihem mirpas raglechem, because it is the thing upon which their feet tread, or ki'im mirpas raglehem. You shouldn't drink their yayin unless it's mirpas raglehem, unless it's that which they with their feet.
Refesh
raglehem. So that it's really a sin, not a shin. That's the problem. But you could, one second, you could read it like that. We'll get to that in a moment. But Parshup Shad, as it means, ki'im mirpas raglehem, would mean that unless it was done with their feet. The Marzu says that Alpi Halacha could be that if a guy makes wine with his foot, as opposed to mixing it with his hands or whatever, it could be that there are tzadim to say that it doesn't have the din of yayin nesach. Ein nisuch beregel. So it's not going to have din yayin nesach. You still have a problem of stam yayinam, but it won't be yayin nesach if they do it.
Shemen v'ze, simen drichat.
Yeah, hayom, gam kam. But you could also read it like Rav Tzvi was wanted to say it. Mir pash raglam, which means the mud. Refesh is mud. The mud of their feet. So what does that mean, the mud of their feet? Like, don't drink their wine, but you could drink the mud of their feet. What does that mean? Don't drink their wine, but you could drink the mud of their feet. So both the Radal and the Marzu tell you to look at this sefer called Shevet Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda is a sefer written by Rav Shlomo Ibn Virga, where he brings different stories, historical shmad and stuff that happened to Klal Yisrael. And in Shmad Hazayin, Hashmad HaShvi'i, he brings a story that there was once a king, and somebody told the king that the Jews don't like you, and that's why if you touch their wine, they're not going to drink it. So he tested it out. He touched a wine, and the Jew didn't want to drink it. So he said, "Oh, I'm going to go kill the Jews because they don't like me." There's a similar medrash about like this about Haman and Achashverosh, but this is a different story. I think
it was
Kamsa bar Kamsa. Oh, it was Kamsa bar Kamsa, right? In Gittin, he said that the Jews won't drink it. If the fly falls into it, right, they'll take out the fly and drink it. If you touch it, you know, they hate you so much that they won't drink it. Right? Fine. So that's the story by Kanzelbach. Well, here, so he tested that. He saw that they're not going to drink it. Right? So the king had a Jewish physician. So he asked his Jewish doctor to drink the wine. The doctor says, "No, I'm not going to drink it." So the king is getting very angry. So the doctor says, he chaps what happens. So he says to him, "So look, I'm your doctor, right? I help you with all your bodily stuff or whatever. Look, I'm gonna clean your foot today, right? Because your foot is dirty, whatever. I'm gonna help you clean your foot. After I clean the foot, I'm gonna drink that water." That comes out after cleaning your foot, all the like the leftover residue, right? And if I drink, and he drinks that water, right? And by doing that, he showed the king that the reason why we don't drink your wine is not because we don't like you. I'll even drink the water of your foot, the refesh raglam, the mud of your foot, that after cleaning you, I'll even drink that. I don't have anything against you personally, just that there's a halacha that says that you're not allowed to drink stam yenim of a guy. That's a halacha. It doesn't have, it's nothing personal. It's just, that's the way it is.
She said, "Listen, we have some gefilte fish.
Which is, the kid said that. So they want to say that's what it means. Ki'im mirpash raglam, they don't drink their wine, but you could even drink their mirpash raglam, the mud of their feet. Shekol yenem shel goyim la'avod azor v'liznus. All the wines of... Yeah, that's true. Shekol yenem shel goyim la'avod azor v'liznus. All the wines of goyim are for the purposes of avod azorah and the purposes of znus. Shehen leikhin reishis... Because they take their first vintage, the first wine of the season, and they give it to their avodah zarah, and they give it to znus. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk. Znus. By the way, we know that in the Dead Sea Scrolls, so we know that the people who the Dead Sea Scrolls were found by them, the cult of the Dead Sea Scrolls, so they had a special yantiv. The cult of the Dead Sea Scrolls. No, I'm saying the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. In their caves or whatever, So they had a special yantav that we don't have. They have a special yantav. I think it was like in Chiddush Av or something of the first wines. They had that was something that Ibn David Azar commonly did. They had the first wines, so it was for znus and for Avodah Zarah. Shnema znus v'yayin v'sirei shikach lev. Znus is promiscuity and wine, and tirish is another word for yayin yikach lev. It takes your heart. Because of Echad Omer, another person says, "Al tibe seve yayin v'basar lamay." Don't be from the seve yayin, the people who are indulged in wine. Right? So that's a reference to znus and avodah zarah. How do you see avodah zarah over here? What seve yayin? How do you see avodah zarah? First pasuk is znus v'yayin. Where do you see avodah zarah? So Marzu says, don't read it as seve yayin, people who are indulged in wine. Rather read it as soyave yayin, samech aleph beis yud. Is in Lashon Aramis, soyavim yadayim misuavos means dirty or disgusting or tame. So tame wine, meaning it's a reference to avodah zarah, which is called tame. We find other places that Chazal and even Tanakh, they put together znus and avodah zarah as like, you know, vayiznu acharei balim. Klal Yisrael strayed after the balim, but the word strayed is znus, is as if it's like referring to, you know, sexual immorality. It's a the two things, they go together a lot. Just a vart on this week's parsha, because Moshe Shabbos parsha is Noach, and Mamish comes in over here. We find by Noach it says Noach ish tzadik tamim haya b'derisav. Noach is described as a tzadik and a tamim in his generations, multiple generations. What's the multiple generations? So Noach lived in the time of two generations of utter destruction for mankind. The Dor Mabul and the Dor HaPalaga. The Dor Mabul, the Ikra Vera, was Gili Arayis. Vatishachis Oretz Lefnei Elokim, Ki Hishchis Kol Basar. Each person was corrupted in an immoral, in a Gili Arayis type of way. That was the Dor Mabul. And Noach was a tzaddik, alludes to the fact that even so, he maintained his purity and his righteousness and his innocence. Just like Yosef, who's the quintessential tzaddik, Yosef a tzaddik, he's called a tzaddik because he was able to withstand the taiva for Gilui Arayis. So Noach is called a tzaddik for the same reason. Tamim, right, is a reference to Dora Palaga. Nerech was alive in the Dora Palaga, which we've spoken about earlier in the parak about Dora Palaga. Their Iker Kavana in building the Migdal Bavel was to do Avodah Zarah. They were trying to go against Hashem, right? They're trying to go against Hashem. So Noach was the opposite of Avodah Zarah. Tomim tiya im Hashem elikecha. He was Tomim with Hashem. The Chida says this vart, that Tzadik and Tomim is connected Gili Arayas and Avodah Zarah. Right? So I wanted to be Maisif on the Chida's vart. So based on this, now we can understand why there was such a complaint against Noach, that the first thing that he did after coming out of the table was that Vayita Kerem. He planted a vineyard and he made wine. Why? Because we just said here in the Medrash, all the wine of the Goyim is Liznos Alavadis Chachavim. So even though Noach Mistama had noble intentions, but most of the yayin that was used in the world is for Znus and for Avodas Chachavim. So why is Noach getting involved in that? That's not who he is. He's Tzadik and Tomim. He's not.
He did do all those with Hashem also.
True.
So why did he do not a vineyard right away?
What?
Why did he do a vineyard right away? Why did he get involved with that stuff right away?
So I think we said this b'shaita, that Noach thought that after the Mabul, the Chet of Adam Rishon was fixed. And one of the explanations we said of the Chet of Adam Rishon was that Eitz Hadas, according to one man, the Omar, was Anavim. And the problem was that he took the Anavim and he made Yayin and he drank it right away. He should have waited till Shabbos. But he didn't wait till Shabbos, he did it on Friday. And that was the Taina against Adam Rishon. So some of Farshim said that that's what. So Noach thought that after the Mabul was wiped out and all the people who did affairs were gone, and now the world got its tikkun, and now it's time for him to drink yayin. That's what some people want to say. Right, there's a whole long shtick over here from the Radal, but I'm not going to do it. We'll go weiter. It has to do with Amin and Mayav and whatever. What?
And he got messed up with the wine.
Yeah, he did. I say he did. What time is it, by the way?
8:25.
9:25? 8:25. Okay, so we'll try to do this fast. We'll skip that piece and we'll finish. There isn't so much left. Rabbi Pinchas Amir, Rabbi Pinchas Amar Kadish Baruch Hu Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Zoichir Matem Masha Osu Lachem HaMidyanim. After this whole story happened, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, do you remember what the Midyanim did to you guys? She appealed to me, Yisrael Esrim V'Arboi Aleph Ish, that the Midyanim caused that 24,000 Jews should fall, should be killed. Ela Ad Shelo Teyosef Nekayim Nekmasim. Before you die, Moshe Rabbeinu, you should do revenge against the Midyanim. Shneim Atzaz Napozik Nekayim Nekmas Bnei Yisrael Me'eis HaMidyanim. Go get revenge of Bnei Yisrael from the Midyanim. V'achar, the end of the pasuk says, V'achar teyosef el amecha, and then you'll die. So Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, first wage war against Midyan, and then you'll die. Right? Before you die, you make sure that Bnei Yisrael gets their revenge. Me also Moshe, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Lokach elef ish mikol shevet v'shevet mishifte Yisrael. He took 1,000 men from each shevet, from each tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel. Harei shneim asar olef. Behold, it comes out that there were 12,000 people, 12,000 men that he's going to take with his army to fight the Midianim. V'hamekana alazima nasi alehem. V'hamekana alazima, the one who was a kanoi against promiscuity, against these immorality, meaning Pinchas, he was the kanoi nasi alehem. He was the prince over these people, meaning Pinchas became the kain mishuach melchama. He was leading them in the war against Midian. The Ramban Chumash says because Pinchas started the mitzvah, he was the one who was masculine in the mitzvah, so it's roy that he should be the one who would finish the mitzvah. Says the Medrash, V'lokhu es kleya kodesh v'chatzaitzres hatshua biyadam. And let's read it like this. V'lokach, and Pinchas took es kleya kodesh, the holy kelim, v'chatzaitzres hatshua biyadam. And they had in their hands the chatzaitzres hatshua, the trumpets for blowing for the war. That's what they took in. It says v'lokach es klei hakodesh. He took the klei hakodesh, the holy vessels. So what are these holy vessels? So Radal brings the machlekes between different sources. Medrash Rabbah and Medrash Tanchuma say that these things that were the bigdei kuhuna and the urim etumim that Pinchas took with him. The Gemara says, and the Sifri say, the Gemara and the Sefer say that the Kli HaKodesh that we're talking about wasn't the Big Dekun and the Urim Tumim, it was the Aron. It was the Ark of the Covenant, right? The Aron with the Luchas in it and everything. So Adal says that, over here it says, V'lokach as Kli HaKodesh. He, Pinchas, took the Kli HaKodesh. Now if it's the Aron, it can't be that Pinchas took the Aron because it takes more than one person to take the Aron. So the Radal says, from here you see that Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer understood, not like the Gemara and the Sefri, that it was the Aron. Rather, Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer understood like the Medrash Rabbah and the Medrash Tanchuma, that it was the Big Tikkun and the Urim Tumim, and Pichas took those things. That's what the Radal says. Lamaisa, the Radal had a Gersa that said V'lokach. We don't have a Gersa that said V'lokach. It says V'lokchu. Our Gersa says V'lokchu. They took. So if you read it as they took, it's not muchrach to say, you're not forced to say that they took the Big Day Kahuna and the Urim Tumim. You can say they took the Aron with them out to war. They went and they captured the daughters of Midian and they brought them into the camp of Bnei Israel. Vishama Maisha Vyatsa the Krasam Vraisam. Maisha Benu heard that they were successful in their war and he went out to greet them and he saw them. Vayamarlay and he said to them, Al Elu Noflu Misrol Arbo Vesim Olaf. He said, on account of these women, 24,000 Jews died. Shenemer Hain Haina Hayu Livne Yisrael Bidvar Bilam, right? Limo Maba Hashem Al Dvar Pa'ar. These were the women that caused Bnei Yisrael to stumble, right? Why did you save them? Why are you bringing them into our camp? What are you thinking? Says the Midrash, Hiskel Koyes Aleim. Moshe Rabbeinu began to get angry on them. On these people. Shinamah says the Apostle Vayiktsev Moshe al Pikudei HaChoyel. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry on the people who were charged with the soldiers. Over Kaisai Nistalka Ruach HaKadosh Rimeno. And through Moshe Rabbeinu's anger, his Ruach HaKadosh went away from him, as we're going to see in a minute. Mikana Talamed, from here you learn, Shekapten Me'abed Chachmasai, that a person who becomes angry, he loses his Chachma. Now, the Bayez Agadol points out that by Moshe Rabbeinu, first of all, and the Radal also says, Chas v'Shalom, to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was a captain. A captain is a person who regularly gets angry. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't regularly get angry. And also, it says Moshe Rabbeinu lost his Ruach HaKodesh. Here we're saying a captain loses all his Chachma. It says loses any wisdom, any general wisdom. So what's the difference? So I think it could be the Radal trying to say this, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get angry. It says Hischil. He like started to get a little bit angry. So he started to get a little bit angry. He lost his Ruach HaKodesh. He lost his whole high darga of Ruach HaKodesh. And from that, the Medrash extrapolates, it learns out that a person who regularly gets angry, he'll lose mamish all his dargas. He'll lose even his regular Chachma. That's how I want to understand what the Medrash says.
So it's a Kol V'Chomer.
Yeah. It's like a Kol V'Chomer. It's a shtickle diet, but whatever. I'll derech that. Karel Elazar, Moshe Rabbeinu called Elazar v'kiblei ma'acharav. Karel Elazar, sorry, the Shechina called out to Elazar, the Ruach HaKodesh called out to Elazar v'kiblei ma'acharav, and Elazar received nevuah from behind the Moshe Rabbeinu. Shinemar v'yemar Elazar k'hakoyin al-anshi ha-tzava, etc. Asher tziv Hashem es Moshe. Basically, what happens is that Elazar then goes to the people of the Milchama, of the army, and he tells them the halacha of Giulei Akum, of kashering vessels that you took from a guy, how to kasher it, right? And then he ends off, he says, Asher Tziva Hashem is Moshe. So why is Elazar telling them what to do if it's Asher Tziva Hashem is Moshe? Amar lahem leMoshe Tziva v'Asi leTziva. Elazar says, Hashem gave this command to Moshe, but he didn't give the command. He didn't give the command to me. But because Moshe Rabbeinu lost his Ruach HaKodesh, so like the Nevuah somehow like went through it, the Nevuah came to Moshe, but it went through Moshe and went straight to Elazar, and Elazar is the one who said it over, because Moshe Rabbeinu lost his Ruach HaKodesh to some extent. We sort of spoke about this in the end of Perek Tezvav, that Elazar was in a certain way, at least in this parsha, on the darg, his nevuah was on the darg of Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah. He like sort of replaced Moshe Rabbeinu just for the parsha of Giulei Akum. One last nekuda. Rabbi Lura Me'izmir asks, why Taka did the soldiers bring back the daughters of Midian? What were they thinking? They should have like killed them out or whatever. Why would they dafka bring back the daughters? Like Moshe Rabbeinu was getting angry at them. Like he was sort of justified in doing so. So Bilal Me'izmir says two pshatim. The first pshat is the Gemara in Yoyma on Daf Pei Vavam Adei says that a person's tshuva is not complete unless he's ba'isei perek, ba'isei makam, or ba'isei isha. Unless he's in the exact same situation that time, at that place, and that with that woman, and he's tempted to do a sin, and he doesn't do a sin, then his sin is completely forgiven. It shows that his tshuva is complete. So Rabbi Yehuda Meir wants to say that that's why the soldiers Dafka brought the women back to the Machane Yisrael to so that it'll bring them back, and then the Jews won't be nichshal with them this time, and that'll show that the tshuva that they did because of Pinchas was a tshuva shlema, and they'll be completely forgiven. That's one nekuda. And the second nekuda is that he wanted to take the women that weren't nichshal and be megayer them, so that they won't be part of the sitrach, they'll be part of the sitra, the kedusha, and it'll be misakin the avera that the Bnei Yisrael did. Okay, we're done.
When is the halacha on Shevi, the parsha is the halacha of the captured what?
The beautiful woman.
If you capture a woman, then you can.
Well, you fast tire.
Yeah.
Okay, that's something else. That's a separate thing. That wasn't set up, right? No.